Welcome to the You Don't Know What You Don't Know podcast by Innovative Business Advisors. Successful business owners who have started, grown, and led businesses share their journey and direction for the benefit of those traveling the same path.
Well, my dear listeners, today we have a very special treat for you. We're going to get at the essence of entrepreneurship, something that I fundamentally believe cannot be taught. We will dance with what drives somebody to share their vision and talents with others. Today, we're going to be speaking with Augie Keenum, and Augie found that he has a special talent, and he learned that sharing his talent could earn him money. This by itself is not all that unusual. In many instances, there have been whole industries and fortunes that are built on a founder's talent. What's unusual about Augie is that he's only 7 years old, and he learned that the entrepreneurial spirit is at his core. Let me add that it helps that he's being raised in an environment that honors and empowers us. His family nurtures the spark in him and supports his talent. But the spark of entrepreneurship is strong here, and Augie puts his passion into action to help others. Now, I make my living working with business owners, and I'm genuinely interested in their stories. But this is my first seven-year-old entrepreneur. And let me warn you that the episode starts kind of slow, and honestly, that's just me struggling to get in his head and understand what drives Augie. But don't let my slow uptake keep you from discovering the gold that he shares. Conversation really begins to get insightful when we begin to talk about the maker's market. During the event, Augie does something that kids do naturally. He makes a friend and forms an alliance. Together, they begin to do what he calls previews, which is actually Augie tying custom flies for his new print. And the effect is it begins to draw a crowd. Augie describes this pretty well, and I'm going to leave it to you to listen and hear the excitement that this generated. The example just left me wondering how many other businesses could spark some interest and excitement with a new alliance. Keep listening and you're going to hear where Augie makes up his mind to close a particular sale. Listen carefully to his motivation behind this and what that meant to him. He talks about how he had to begin to think differently in order to make the sale happen. Then he almost knocks me out of my chair when he talks about, quote, a win or a win. Pay very close attention to that. And remember, this is coming out of the mind of a seven-year-old. Let me emphasize that this is a kid that did $70.60 in sales in less than 2 hours from a folding card table at a school-sponsored maker's mark in the middle of a shopping center. I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but you should know that many of the small retail shops in that very shopping center and on Main Street USA don't sell more than $70 worth of merchandise every 2 hours. But even a seven-year-old entrepreneur doesn't always have a maker's market where he can sell his craft. So listen further, where he talks about taking his product to his available market with the help of a red wagon. Now, Augie goes on to talk about how his product is really good, an opinion most artists share about the products that they make with their own hands. But more than that, he demonstrates that he knows the market and he knows how his product compares to what the customers could buy in a traditional tackle shop. Augie and I got into his selling price formula. This is really good stuff. Listen to Augie reason out his process for setting the price that he does for his products. The key is Augie is focused on his customer, something Jeff Bezos used to guide his startup. So I hope you'll agree that Augie's a fascinating entrepreneur with an early head for business. He amazes me again a few minutes later when he talks about using the proceeds of his sales so that he can make more flies. Finally, listen to his viewpoint on podcasts and remember, he's 7 years old. In the show notes, you're going to find links to Augie's Facebook page. And you, my dear listeners, you've got friends, family, and loved ones that will enjoy hearing the story of this young man. So please share it. Christmas is coming. So are anniversaries, birthdays, and other special days in the lives of those that you know and love. I guarantee that a gift of one of Augie's flies along with his story will be a gift that they will remember forever. So go to his Facebook page, buy his product, share it with those you know and love, and I believe you both will be blessed by the story of Augie and his flies.
We're talking with Augie today about his custom fly business where he makes his own flies. And Augie, you were telling us a little bit about the snow monster. Tell me about using the snow monster while you've been out fishing. What kind of experiences have you had with those?
Well, the first time I made the snow monster,
yep,
I used a black bead, a hook size 12.
Okay.
And the first one I made, it had bright orange string, and then I put a white feather around it.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the other ones, I use everything, the same size hook, the same color bead, the same color feather, but the strings were different. So the first color string was orange, the second color string was black, the third color string was olive green.
Okay. And then did you ever fish with those snow monsters?
Well, my pop-pop fished with the green olive one.
You gave your pop-pop one of the snow monsters?
Yeah. The green one.
Yeah?
And
How come you gave him the green one?
Because I just don't know. There's something about Grandpa's that green just matches with it.
Green matches with Grandpa?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. Did you fish with the other two?
Oh, well, I fished with the orange one, and I got this one that broke my rod. Like, if I had my whole rod, and this wasn't a real up rod, it was just a rod that you could toss out. It wasn't a fly rod. It was just tied onto the end, and it didn't have any reel.
Didn't have a reel on it. It was just the pole and the...
Yeah, just the pole.
And the line and the hook.
Yeah. It snapped about maybe 2 feet from the handle.
The pole snapped?
Yes.
How did it snap?
It was just a really, really, really tough fish.
You caught a really tough fish who broke your pole?
2 feet from the 1 foot handle, so 3 feet from the bottom of the pole, and then it broke my rod. So the string was tied at the very end little loop.
Yep.
So it broke my rod, and then it didn't have to break my string. My whole rod just went
with
bump,
the fish
bump,
took the
bump,
whole rod
bump,
away?
Bump, and just went down.
Wow. Did you ever get it back?
Nope.
Gone forever.
Yeah. That was the second time Dad had to replace that rod.
That was a big fish.
Yes. The first time, there was a tree above me, but there was a big limb that was really strong, and then whenever I went back to do it...
The line got caught in the...
No, the line didn't get caught. I was just really strong, and I pulled it back, and then it hit so hard that it broke my rod.
Snapped the end of your rod.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Don't know your own strength sometimes. Very cool. Well, sounds like you have a lot of fun fishing.
Yeah.
And a lot of fishing stories to tell.
Well, I did have this one fish. Well, we went to Arkansas, and I went with Dad because it was based on his birthday. It was his birthday weekend. I got to go there.
With your dad on his birthday weekend.
Yeah, I got to fish with him in the afternoon. He was catching so many, and I barely catched any, but then, bam, I was catching a lot, and he barely caught one.
That's pretty fun, huh? How come you think the fish were attracted to your line?
I don't know. I just had this fly on it. I think it was maybe my third fly that I tied. It was called the Snow Monster.
The Snow Monster. Why is it called the Snow Monster?
Well, I use a blackhead.
Yeah.
Number 12. And I used bright orange. And there was this white feather that I wrapped around it. And it was all foamy up with it. So I called it the Snow Monster because it was basically white.
Cool. Looked like a big white snow monster, huh?
Yeah.
And the fish seemed to be chasing that one, eh?
Yeah. I made an olive green one. I mean with a string, an olive green string and a orange string. We went to Rockbridge, and it was Pop-Pop's birthday, and I gave him the green snow monster, and actually, quite quickly, he caught a fish maybe a minute after we started.
Wow. So it sounds like those fish like to chase those flies that you tie, huh?
Yeah.
So tell me, how did you learn to tie flies?
Well, actually, I was about to tell you about that.
Oh, please do.
I was having a sleepover with my sister at Marmy and Pop Pop's, and I just needed a drink of water, and I didn't want to go into Marmy's room because Henrietta was sleeping in that room.
Hmm.
I got my very own bed, though.
Uh-huh.
But I went to Pop Pop's room, which was down the steps, and whenever I went to turn in, I saw a light, not in his room, but in the next room. And I looked in, and he was tying a fly, and so I walked in and said, "Hey, Pop-Pop, what are you doing?" Well, to me, be more accurate, I said, "What you doing?"
And what did Pop-Pop say?
He said, "Oh, would you like to help me tie my very first fly?" And I don't think he said my very first fly, but close to that. And I did it. It was quite cool. And he said, "Come by any time." And then once he was done, he said, "That's something really cool." And I said, "Yeah, you made something really cool." And then he said, "Well, that's nasty." And then I said, "Yeah, it's horrible." And then he said, "It's horrible." So we went on saying how disgusting it was, on and on, until it was time to go back to bed. We got a drink of water, and then secretly, this doesn't involve anything of fly fishing, he gave me a mini ice cream.
Ah, nice. Nice. Very
it was
nice.
Yummy.
Very cool. So Pop-Pop taught you how to tie flies?
Well,
were you guys learning together? Were you both learning at the same time?
Kind of. Well, I didn't really necessarily learn how to do it there.
Okay.
I've only really tied about 5 flies there.
Okay.
But mostly Dad taught me.
Mostly Dad taught you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did a maker's market, and I didn't know how to do the whip finish yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, like, putting maybe 5 or 6 half hitches on it to tie it off. And I just was like, "I'm going to give this a little go," and then I just did it.
Boom,
and then I said,
different, huh?
"Hey, Dad, I think I learned how to do whip finish." And then Dad came in, and then I did it, and he said it was good.
Awesome. Awesome. So you started tying flies, and now you tie a lot of flies, right?
Yes.
How do you do it? Tell me how you do that. What does it take to make a fly?
Well,
you need a hook, right?
Yeah.
And then what else do you need?
Beads. One of the most important things is string.
Okay.
Because without the string, it's just a hook.
Okay. And what else do you use? Beads and string and the hook and what else?
Sometimes I use flashaboo. I use wire. I never used glue by myself before. I've hardly ever used glue. But it's a thing that Daddy uses.
And when you make your flies, do the fishes like them?
Yes.
It attracts the fishes?
Well, I wouldn't say like attract like a movie, but like they start looking at it. We had, whenever I was in Arkansas, whenever I did that little trip with Dad, there was this rock that it was we were standing maybe across the room mm-hmm. from it.
Okay.
And the water was maybe up to my...
chest?
Chest.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bottom of my chest.
Yeah.
And there were these three bass. It was like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. They were all smallmouth bass. But forget Goldilocks. There was a small one, medium size, and a bigger one. They took nibbles at our hooks, but we just couldn't set the line fast enough. After a while, Dad caught the smallest smallmouth bass. And at first I thought, is that a bass? And then he said, well, it's a type of bass. It's a smallmouth bass. Oh, it's not like a creamy bass.
Mm.
I made that one up.
So it sounds like you're learning all about fishing from your dad and your pop-pop, huh?
Yeah, mostly my dad's.
Mostly your dad?
Yeah, dad's.
Yeah? And has he taught you all about the different kinds of fish and so forth as well?
Well, when I was maybe five, the only, like, pond fish I can remember, literally, I could not remember any other type of fish except a bluegill.
Lots of bluegill in the pond that you fish in?
Well, I mean, it was really hard, but it was the only fish that I could memorize in my brain. Now I know a pumpkin seed, I know bass, smallmouth bass, yeah. I know a lot of different types of fish now.
But your superpower is you like to tie flies, and you've become pretty good at it, haven't you?
Yes, yes.
And you talked about the maker's market, so tell us, how did you end up at the maker's market? Was that a school project?
Actually, yes, it was.
And tell me what you had to do there.
Well, Mom said, would you like to participate in the maker's market? And I said, can I tie flies? And she said, you can do whatever you want if it involves you making something. You can't buy something. And I said, okay, they'll make it.
And everything you did, you had to make?
Yes. Well, I didn't have to make the table or the chair that I used, but I had to make all the flies.
You had to make everything you brought to the market.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I had to make the sign.
Oh, you had to make the sign too?
Yeah.
And how did that work? Were you able to sell many flies at this maker's market?
Well, at first I wasn't getting that many things, but then I started to get more. Quite quickly, I made a friend across the market. He was selling bow and arrows. Like, he actually used a stick and string to make a bow and arrow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was he sending people over to you to talk about your
flies?
Well,
he said, I'll come over and get one, and I thought he was joking after a while, but then he came over with his dad, and he asked for two flies of preview, a live preview. And once I was doing those previews, a bunch of other people lined up to try seeing me do my previews. And, yeah, we were quite the buddies.
Then you guys got pretty busy, huh?
Yeah.
So when people were coming to preview, right, what happened? Did people start showing an interest in your flies at that point?
Well, they were mostly for the show, not to buy.
Oh.
They just wanted the show.
Okay. Did you talk to them about the flies while you were giving them the show?
Nah, I didn't really. I just wanted to be more focused on what I was doing, using things.
But did a bunch of those people end up buying those flies while they
were
standing there?
No, not a single one.
Not a single one.
Except the one that actually except my buddy that actually wanted to buy something.
Okay. And how many did he end up with?
Four?
Four flies. Wow.
Four flies.
Wow.
He got two on preview and actually, no, five flies. Two on preview, three just buying.
How much do you sell your flies for?
Oh, that was the thing. For my preview, if you're just buying one, it's two a piece.
Okay. $2 a piece if you're just buying one?
Yeah, so it's basically double it if you want. If you buy two of them, it's actually the same cost of one preview.
So $4 for a preview?
Yeah, $4 for a preview.
And then how many flies do you get in a preview?
One per preview.
Okay.
Because I can't make, I don't have two vices, so I can't make two flies at the same time.
Okay, gotcha.
But it would be interesting.
When people are watching you make one in a preview, do they get to choose the things or do you choose everything that goes on the fly?
Actually, they do get to choose.
Oh, they do?
But
do you help them with those choices?
What?
Do you help them make the choices about what beads and other things they use
maybe.
And what string and so forth?
Yeah.
Yeah?
But I do want to say that not that many people wanted to choose the things, so I said, would you like to choose or would you like for me to choose for you? And they asked for me to choose.
Okay. Do you know what works good on flies?
What do you mean by that?
Well, do you know what the fish like to go after on the flies?
I think they like to go for ones that are maybe black or lighter color.
Okay.
Sometimes brown. I got an inspiration for one because I went to the bird sanctuary, and whenever I was playing on the playground there and I came over to have a snack, on my apple I saw a worm crawling on it. I saw an inchworm, and then I saw like one of those furry greenish worms.
Mm.
So that's where I got the idea of making these ones.
With the green and black fur on them?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. And have you tried them? Have you tried fishing with them?
No, actually not.
Not yet, huh?
Me and Dad did a competition where we could make two, and then Mom, we didn't tell her which ones we made, and then Mom chose her favorites, and she chose one of mine and one of his. Well, we asked her to pick two, and she picked one of mine and one of his, and then she picked one of those, and she liked mine better.
Oh, mm-hmm. Interesting. So what's the hardest thing about tying flies?
The hardest thing probably is if you're using dubbing.
What is dubbing?
Well, dubbing's this, it's basically like just little fur lines that you take them and then you just rip them up. And this is how you use it. You rip them up.
Okay.
And then you see the strands that are up and down. So you put them on like that, and then you have both hands, and then you twist opposite ways.
So does that make the strands stand up?
Yeah, and it keeps it on the string so it doesn't just blop. Because you can't tie it on because it'll just rip off.
Oh, so you got to kind of wind it around the hook then.
Well, wind it around the string, and then I wrap the string around, so.
Got it.
And the hardest thing about that is before Dad got this waxy stuff to keep it on the string was to keep it on because I wrapped it and then it would like get big and then it would come off and then I had to wrap it and then I would ruin the fly basically.
What's the easiest thing about tying a fly?
The easiest thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I have one more thing that's the hardest.
Okay, what's the other thing that's the hardest?
Getting beads out, but then putting back beads in.
Back into the
container.
Into the container?
Yeah.
Because the beads are pretty small.
And on the little container, there's a little bump at the top of it to keep too many from coming out. And it keeps one from coming out, but then when I try getting that one in, it gets like 8 out.
Yeah.
And then it's hard to put them all back and keep one or two.
And Mom probably wants you to put everything back in the container, right? Clean it all up afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you tie your flies? Do you have a workbench to do that?
Well, usually we just do it at the kitchen table.
Okay.
Dad usually at night, whenever we have to go to bed, Henrietta falls asleep really quickly. And Mom puts Everett to sleep so he can do it on the coffee table where it's low and in kids' reach, but nobody gets to him.
Yeah, because you don't want your little brother and your little sister playing with your hooks and beads and so forth. They'll probably make a mess of things, won't they?
Yeah. Once I got, I don't know if you can see it, but there's still a little hole in my nail because a hook got in my nail and got pushed here. Well, the hook was in my nail, and then the little circle was here, and it was pushing, so it stayed in and just pushed in even farther.
Hmm. That didn't feel very good, did it?
Well, I couldn't feel it because my nail is pretty thick, and I do flint napping, so the antler that I use to hit the rock hits my nail all the time, so I'm used to it.
Okay. You think you're going to keep tying flies and selling flies?
Yes.
And when you sell your flies, what do you do with the money?
That's a good point. I never thought of that.
Yeah?
I think I'm going to spend it on more new materials because we have plenty of 12s, 14s, 18s, and 16s, but we don't have even 110 left.
Ah, does your dad gets all the materials for you? Does he have a supply you can use?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does
your dad like to use your flies or does he tie his own flies?
Well, sometimes he'll use my flies.
Yeah?
I don't really remember when, but I'm pretty sure he does.
Okay. Do you enjoy tying flies and selling them to people?
Yes, I haven't really sold that many.
Was the Maker's Market the first place where you started doing that?
Yeah, the Maker's Market was basically the only place I've ever done it.
Oh, it's the only place you've ever done it, huh? Okay. And did you sell many of them while you were there?
Yes and no.
You don't remember the exact number?
Yeah. Well, I do remember how much money I got.
Oh, well, how much money did you get?
I got $70 in 60 cents, I think.
You must have been there all day long.
No.
No? You weren't there all day long?
No.
How long were you there?
I was there for about maybe 2 hours.
You sold $70 in flies in 2 hours? You must have been pretty busy.
Actually, not that busy. The first customer I had didn't actually want to buy a fly. She just gave me a tip.
She just gave you a tip?
Yeah.
Why do you think she did that?
She said, "Oh, these are so cute. Would you like a piece of tip?" And then I said yes. Because who wouldn't want a piece of tip?
Yeah, everybody wants a little tip, right?
Yeah.
Did you tell her all about the flies too?
Well, I said, "Which one would you like?" And she said, "Oh, I'm not that much of a fisherman." And I said, "Okay, thank you, first customer." And she said, "Oh, I'm your first customer?" And then I said, "Yeah, kind of no, because he didn't buy anything." So.
But she was your first tipping customer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're going to ask me this, but one of my biggest problems that I had a solution for was this woman came by and said, "Oh, these are nice." And then I said, "Oh, would you like one?" And then she said, "I'm not that much of a fisherman." And I said, "Hey, wait, does your husband like to fish?" And then I did this, and then she said, "Well, no, but my brother likes to fish." And then I said, "Well, Christmas is right around the corner. You should give your brother a Christmas present. And so I help someone else's needs and help my own.
Were you thinking about that? Is that how you were thinking about that, that you wanted to help her needs so that you could help your own?
Actually, I wanted her to get it, and I also wanted me to sell one, so it was a win for win.
A win for win. Wow, that's awesome. Where did you hear that win for win?
I just made it up.
That's a cool way to think about things, isn't it?
Yeah.
If she gets what she wants and you get what you want, everybody wins, right?
Yeah.
That's an awesome way to do things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now, was she your first paying customer then for your flies?
Actually, she was my, yeah. She was my first paying customer.
Wow.
I was like, no, lady, you are not going away from me without buying another fly.
Wow.
I am done with customers going by.
So you made a decision to yourself that you weren't going to let the customers go by anymore without selling them a fly, right?
Yeah.
Very cool. You knew the customers were coming to you. You just decided that they needed to have a little more information so you could sell them a fly?
Yeah.
And you reminded her that Christmas was coming.
Yes.
Smart, because she probably wasn't thinking about that until you asked her the question, huh?
Yeah, Dad told me why I wasn't getting too many things because it was mostly Mom's and, yeah. Moms are more for, like, candles and knittings and...
Yeah, moms are thinking about stuff for them instead of stuff for other people they might know, huh?
Yeah.
But moms buy a lot of presents for lots of people, though, so that was pretty smart to think about.
For decorations, because you know how distracted moms get decorating.
Oh, they love to decorate, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
And dress up for nice things, boss their kids around to... wear what she think is appropriate.
Mm-hmm. So do you think you're going to go and sell any more flies before Christmas?
Well, I did have the idea because we have a red wagon in our basement that we never use.
So how are you going to use your red wagon?
I was going to put my fly case.
Yeah.
In there, and I was going to go from door to door, knock, and if they didn't answer, I would just go to the next door and ask, would you like to buy a fly? One a piece. But Dad said, well, you can sell your things without having to get frostbite every 5 seconds.
Yeah. Cool. Why do you want to sell your flies?
Because I really like making them, and then I notice that I'm losing a lot of room in my box.
Ah, because you're filling your box up, right?
So, yeah.
So if you sell some of those, you'll have more room to put more in there?
Yeah. Guess how many flies I had whenever I started the Maker's Market? It's a D.
100.
No. 80.
80 flies?
80.
And how many did you go home with?
40.
Wow, you sold almost half your flies.
Yeah.
At Maker's Mark. Wow. To ladies who were using them as gifts for friends primarily? Or did you have any fishermen come up and buy your flies?
Actually, yes.
You did?
There was somebody who was visiting their family for Christmas, and then he said next Monday, I think, after Christmas, he was going to go to another country, I think, but maybe just stay in my fly. And he bought one, and my fly was going to go all the way to a different country or state.
Wow.
It was amazing.
That is amazing. That is amazing. I'm looking at your flies here in the box, and there's a lot of difference. Can you tell me why some of them are different from other ones?
Well, I have a lot. I can tell you one that I think I made yesterday.
Okay.
I made this one right here. The one with kind of a short tail and the red.
Yeah, yep, I see that.
I made that one yesterday and this one. I was wondering if you wanted this one and another one.
Well, I was going to ask you if I could buy some of your flies.
Yeah.
Would that be okay?
Yeah, and if you want, you can have them for free. I don't really care. No. You can have, yeah.
Because you just love to make flies, right?
Yeah, you can have this one next to that one for free, but
yeah.
If you want, you can buy any of these.
Yeah. Do you like to take your flies out and go fishing with them and see how they work?
Well, it's starting to become Christmas time, and there's not that many ponds that are that active with fish. And whenever it was warm enough, there was like this big drought of a bunch of ponds. There wasn't that many. There was hardly any drops left in any ponds or lakes. It was just bare.
Yeah, we had a hot year this year. We didn't have a lot of rain, so seems like the fish were kind of deep this year, huh?
Yeah.
They were trying to stay cool.
Yeah, and we went to a place where there's like a little creek and then a big lake. We didn't plan on going fishing. It was just maybe a side effect.
Uh-huh.
But then we found out that this was really dry, and we went over to here, and then we were all complaining because
the creek was really dry, but the pond wasn't?
Yeah, and we didn't really prepare for doing this. So I fished, and then Dad kind of fished. And if we caught a fish, we could put it in the bucket for the little kids to play in.
Nice.
There was something horrible whenever Everett almost put my whole water bottle in the fish bowl.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good for your little brother Everett to put your water bottle in the fish bowl, right?
No.
That wouldn't be good.
No.
Is fishing your favorite thing?
One of my favorite.
What's your most favorite thing?
This does not include anything but probably running.
Running is your favorite thing?
Actually, obstacle courses. In first grade, we had a part of playing for a whole week. We played in the woods, but we had boundaries where we had to stay. And there was this big war that lasted the whole week. I was on the Japanese side, and the other side was English. Unfortunately, my very best friend there was on the English side, and I was on the Japanese side.
Oh, so you were fighting against your very best friend, huh?
Yeah. But, and another one of my friends was on the English side, but one of my friends was on, Felix was on my side.
Ah, got it.
But he acted like he was on the English team.
Oh, so he was a double agent.
And whenever he went out and pretended he was trying to get me, but actually he was making pottery because he was our pottery man. So he made all the pots to keep the juice out, and he made little balls, and he needed the pot because some of us went to go and find berries, and then we would mush up berries in the thing, and then he would put a little bit of berry juice in the balls, and then it would dry out the next day, and then we could throw an epic battle thing.
With the berry juice marking the spot that you hit, right?
Yes.
Yeah, got it. Okay. So do you think fishing is your third favorite thing or your second favorite thing?
Second. My third favorite thing is swimming.
Okay, so obstacle courses, fishing, and swimming.
Well, obstacle courses / jumping, running, hiding.
Yep, got it. How many years have you been fishing now? When did you first learn to fish?
When I was four, so if I'm seven now, that would be 4, 5, 6, 7.
That's
4 years.
That's almost half your life, huh?
Yes, actually a little more.
Yeah. Because
7 is made out of 4 and 3. So.
Yeah, that's right. Even a little more. So do you put your own hook on the line?
Yes. Sometimes whenever Dad really admits you need to use this fly that I made or you need to use this fly that I bought, I just listen to him.
So you like to make flies, not buy flies?
Yes.
Do you think your flies are better than the ones you buy?
Yes.
They sure look good.
I think I put a lot more effort into mine. I mean, the care into mine than what I would think if I bought one. I think I'm showing more care for making my own and letting other people buy the ones from the store than me.
If you buy a fly at the store, how much do those usually cost?
Maybe $3 a piece.
$3 a piece at the store?
$3.99 a piece.
$3.99, almost $4, right?
Yes.
But so how come you sell yours for less money if you put more into it than the ones in the store?
Because I think I could pay for the materials, even though it would cost a lot more. I'm charging a lot less money because then more people would want to buy it, and I would get more if I cost like two for $3.99 for one fly.
So you don't have to pay for the material right now, so you can charge a little bit more, and people will buy more because yours are cheaper. Is that what you were trying to tell me?
Yes.
That sounds like a strategy.
Yeah.
But if you care more and yours are better, should you charge more too?
I don't really want to charge for them. I would just like making them.
You just love making them.
I don't mean like mine are better than anybody else's. I just think mine are good.
Yours are good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are good. Yes, I agree with you. They're very good. Excellent. Do you think you'll keep making flies? Do you like making flies? Is it a lot of fun for you to make flies?
Yes.
Yeah? How many flies, when you sit down and make flies, how many do you usually make at a time?
Well, whenever I was doing the maker's market and I was making them to prepare at home, I would make 5 each weekend. I mean, each day of the weekend.
Wow.
So, 10, 5 each day of the weekend.
Wow.
So, 5 for 2 days.
Awesome. Awesome. Do you call them anything special? Do you make up a name for every fly that you make?
Well, not too many, but
But you were telling me about the snow monster. I was wondering if you make up a name for each of them.
Well, I don't make up a name for each of them, but I make up names for some of these.
For some of them, okay.
I have to admit, this one with the orange and black.
Mm-hmm.
It has the longest tail of all of them.
It does. I can see it's folded a little bit. Nice. So do you have a name for that one?
I call him the long-tailed bully.
The long-tailed bully?
Yeah.
Okay. How come you call him the long... I understand the long-tailed, but how come you call him the bully?
Because I just like it because black and orange in that pattern... Kind of like if you were in a movie, if you were in fifth grade, there would be bullies in black and red.
Yeah, yeah.
Close enough.
Kind of the dangerous colors, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Dangerous colors.
I like it. I like it. Cool. Okay.
And I just made that name up.
You just made it up while we were
yes.
talking here?
I never actually called it that before.
I see. I can see you're pretty creative about this kind of stuff. Yeah. Do you think you'll be tying flies for a long time?
I think you've asked me that a lot, and yes.
Yeah, yeah. Even your pop-up still ties flies, right? That's something you can do your whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
He said I can come over anytime.
He did?
Yeah.
Very nice. Does he teach you how to tie flies, too?
Yes. He teaches me some things. And I... Well, he has a door that has a lock on it, but it's pretty easy to get in. You don't even need a code. It has all these numbers, but then it has a picture of a lock opened and a lock shut. And when he didn't tell me the code, and I just said, "Hey, is this the code?" And I press the unlock button, and then it just opened.
And it worked.
Because the buttons are just distractions that you need to do. They're just to make you think that you need a code. But actually, it's just that.
You just need to push the right button.
Yeah. You just need to push that button.
So I got one other question for you. When you're tying flies, do you use different kinds of knots?
No.
You use just pretty much one same knot when you tie them on there.
Well, when I'm finished and I'm ready to cut, I do the whip finish.
Yeah.
But then whenever you're just, if you're just pausing and putting it on the little thing so you can, you can put on a feather, then you'll do a half hitch for whenever you make it come over here, it won't just unwrap itself.
Got it. So that keeps it tied up.
Yeah.
So, Augie, would it be okay with you if we put a link on our show here, right? Because you've come on to be our guest. If somebody wanted to buy one of your flies, could we put a link on there so that they could click on it and buy one of your flies?
What do you mean by link?
Well, you know, if something that would send you a note and say, "Augie, would you please send me a fly? Here's my money."
Yeah.
You would be okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. And what would you do with the money if we did that?
I would probably spend it on more materials to make these.
To make more flies?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so let's do that then. Let's put a link on there if people want to buy one of Augie's flies. Will you let me take some pictures of those too so we can put them on there as well?
Yeah, sure.
Awesome. Very good. And is there, if somebody buys your flies, do you have any guarantee for them? What would you tell to somebody that buys your flies about how to use your flies?
Yes, I would tell them not to try brushing any of these, like if you found, well, not to put any sand on it. Like if you're on a sandy bay, you mm-hmm. wanted it to look more like a fly, and you would take some dry sand and put it in the water, but have your hand here so you can catch it, mm-hmm. and then just dunk it in it like it was on the shore and then it flopped back. I would tell them not to do that because it would get stuck in the head. And it would rot. So just don't do that.
Sounds like good advice.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else they should know about buying your flies?
No. I don't really know.
Sounds to me like there's a lot more care and love in your flies than the ones they can buy in the store, though, right?
To me, I think yes.
Yeah, you think yes? Yeah. Cool. You think they'll catch more fish if they use your flies?
Maybe. I think.
Maybe you think?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Awesome. Well, you told us earlier, and I want to just repeat it. You are how old?
7.
You are 7 years old, and you sold $70 worth of flies in 2 hours at your first store, mostly to ladies who don't fish.
Wait. If you're saying I'm like 7 and I was born maybe a month ago, I was actually born on January 4th.
I know. So you're going to be 8 here in a few weeks, right?
Yeah.
You're going to, you keep having those birthdays, you're going to get to be as old as me. Yeah. And so that's pretty awesome. I'm excited of what you were doing when your dad first told me about it. I said, now there is somebody who really has got something special going on, and that's why I wanted to talk to you.
Yeah, and whenever you asked me, I was like, yes, I want to do it.
Yeah.
Please sign me up as quick as possible. When is it going to go? All right, let's get in the car.
Why did you want to do it so much?
Because I just have so many podcasts. Between right now and in the past,
yeah.
Dad, I'm not joking, literally, I've had 15 podcasts.
Really?
15.
Where you've been a guest on the podcast?
No, or never.
Just ones you listen to?
I only listen to podcasts.
You only listen to podcasts?
Yes.
You're a seven-year-old and you only listen to podcasts. Well, I want you to listen to this one and tell me what we can do to make it better, right? And as you keep selling more of these flies, will you agree to come back on and talk to me about it more?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes, yes, yes.
That'd be awesome. Okay.
It would be awesome for me to come back.
Would you like it?
Yes.
All right. Hopefully Mr. Dave will make us sound good on this thing, right?
Yep.
I thank you very much for coming in. It was a lot of fun to talk to
you.
I was really excited to sit down and talk with you about this.
But he's not going to make
disappoint.
He's not going to make my voice sound like a grumpy man.
No, just me. I'm the grumpy man on the side. You don't sound that way. I sound that way. All right, Augie, thank you very much. I enjoyed it. Is there anything you want to say to people listening to this?
I was on a baseball team, and there was someone on my baseball team, and his nickname was Wheels.
Yeah.
And if you're listening to this, I want to tell you that my name is Augie Keenum. My baseball name was The Brain.
The Brain. All right.
I played for the Roughnecks.
The Brain on the Roughnecks. Very cool. Well, thank you, Augie. Thanks for coming with us today. This was a lot of fun.
I loved it. Thank you for letting me be on this podcast.
Very cool. We'll do it again.
Yep.
All right.
Hopefully.
Thank you for listening to the You Don't Know What You Don't Know podcast. We invite you to visit www.youdontknowwhatyoudontknow.com and sign up to receive updates on upcoming episodes. You can also let us know if you'd like to be a guest or recommend a business owner to be interviewed. Find us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube, where you can like, follow, share, and join our efforts. Thanks for listening. We hope you join us again.